I am Jack Vaughn, Editor-in-Chief with SearchSOA.com. I'm speaking today with Thomas Friedel, the CTO of Intralinks, and our topic is SOA performance. Fact is, it is a new ball game as services proliferate in the enterprise. Performance in the management of applications will never be the same. Thomas knows about this, and he knows about it from long experience. Hi, how are you doing, Tom?
Oh, very well. How are you, Jack?
Pretty swell. Just would like to, you know, delve into the topic and would start by asking you to give a bit of your background, a background on the topic and the background of what your firm is about.
Sure, thanks. So Intralinks is focused on critical information exchange. What critical is high-value, timely documents, people, process, information that needs to be exchanged inside and outside the organization. So we're used today across 200 countries and principalities by 750,000 people to exchange information associated with things like mergers and acquisitions, very large financial transactions like loan syndications, and for other things like storing documents associated with a corporate repository, managing vendors, managing the documents associated with legal matters. So we've been doing it for a long time, for over 10 years, in a pure service-oriented architecture model, online as a software as a service company. So we've had a lot of experience with managing a service-oriented architecture in a very large-scale production environment.
Okay, well, I guess you've been there from the beginning. I guess my initial question would be, what's different about SOA performance, and how is it similar or different than traditional enterprise software testing or monitoring?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that make it very different. You know, some that come to mind are, number one, the sort of scale that you're dealing with can be very different from what you might experience in a single organization. For us, we have a large-scale multi-tenant environment, so we've got a very massive number of registered users. So 750,000 users is much larger than the typical you know, employee set that you'd have in a given organization.
I'll grant that, yeah.
So it's very large scale. You may have a wide variety of clients that may or may not be well behaved. So there's what you build, and there are things that your partners may build. While you may have a lot of control over your development resources, you don't necessarily have control over other people that are integrating with or adding value to your platform. And the third thing that I would say is there's a global nature, certainly to our environment. So you can't count on slow periods anymore. For example, we do business in Dubai. And in Dubai, Sunday is typically a working day with Friday and Saturday off as the weekend. So it's the size, the variety of clients, and the global, you know, truly 24/7 nature of this type of software, assuming that you're in a global context.
So how does one approach initially an architecture and ensure that it's a testable one?
There are a couple of things that we focus on. One is first architecting for fault tolerance.
Okay.
So, you know, you basically assume what can go wrong will definitely go wrong. And if you've got a component of your architecture that's servicing requests, when that component fails, what does it fail over to ensure that users aren't affected or the clients of your service are not affected? A second area of focus from an architecture perspective is pretty meat and potatoes. It's thinking about the scalability of it. So, you know, as the number of requests are going to grow and increase, how are you going to handle that? And we think about it in terms of resources, and in particular, CPU and memory resources are the two key resources that you have to think about from a scalability perspective across all of the tiers that may implement your service. So for us, it's a multi-tier architecture, Oracle database on the back end, BEA WebLogic in the middle tier, running our Java application, of course. And then on the front end, we're using Apache. So it's a very typical multi-tier architecture.
I mean, to me, there's two things going on. When you talk about CPU metering, that sort of traditional on-premise thing where you have some control, and then, of course, we have these outlying web services which can affect the back end in unexpected ways.
Absolutely. That's sort of both the beauty and the risk associated with service-oriented architecture. On one hand, you can compose new services, meet business needs very rapidly by, you know, becoming part of an overall solution. On the other hand, you know, as you implied, you may only have control over one side of the equation, and that's the side where the service is implemented. You can't always control the client of your service. So that may mean that people do things that you really don't expect. They send you requests that are malformed, or they send you a lot more than you anticipate, or they send you requests to do very complicated or large-scale transactions that aren't, you know, part of what your traditional use case is that you may test for. So for us, the way we started working to resolve those problems, you know, first of all, up front, when you're testing, you've got to make sure that you're testing what we call, you know, both positive and negative scenarios. So positive are things that you expect to occur, and negative are, as much as you can, you know, try and test the things that you don't expect to happen. So, you know, the totally wrong input for a request, things that you know, are malformed. Test that from the very beginning. I'd say that that's particularly important when you're testing security aspects of an architecture. Make sure you're throwing things in that are not part of your expected flow. Now, that, you know, helps you to test it and make sure that you're resilient relative to those things. But at the end of the day, you still can't control it. So for us, what we did on our server side is we created some throttling technologies. So our first pass at this was to create our own throttling, metering, and monitoring technologies where we could essentially, if you think about it like a faucet, we could sort of turn the faucet down for a particular client to make sure that they didn't overwhelm our servers and use up all those you know, memory and CPU resources. We've gotten more sophisticated with it because there are some vendors that have come onto the scene, like Sonoa Systems, that you know, do a better job than we would on our own creating those sort of monitoring and metering technologies. So you can plug that on top of your infrastructure and basically put a lot of the control around management, monitoring, you know, into a special purpose piece of software that helps you to manage that.
So have a throttler around, maybe a bunch of random malformed messages at all time for planning and testing. Anything else off the top of your head you add?
Yeah, you know, I'd say that, you know, it's really critical that when you're testing this, you know, you don't lose sight of the business purpose and the business need. So whatever your service is, whatever the function is supposed to be, you know, just make sure that you've got the business context incorporated into your testing so that, you know, not only does it work from all these perspectives, but it also meets the business need. You know, there are a lot of other lessons learned, but those are some of the quick ones.
And so maybe a roll-up would be that if you're going into services, you should make sure you have great resources for monitoring already in place?
Absolutely. Because, you know, what we found is we could actually track and understand the specific resource consumption of individual requests in our architecture. Now, that helps you in a bunch of ways. One, you can understand, you know, if you're experiencing a problem right now in your production environment. Two, it allows you to test in a way that's meaningful, where you know that you really have the requests that are going to stress your environment. Three, if you get a really good handle on that and resource consumption from the use of your services, you can use that to do some really incredible capacity planning, and that allows you to get visibility into the future. And everyone today, of course, you know, given the sort of macroeconomic climate, you know, we're all concerned about what sort of resources do we need to have in place when. And understanding that, understanding the consumption, the use of your services, what it means to you from a hardware and software perspective, allows you to get visibility into your budgeting and planning, which, you know, is, of course, critical for all of us.
Well, this podcast will be hosted on the web for a long time, so I'm just going to tell people that the macroeconomic event you're talking about is the 2008 credit crisis, which was one of the bigger things since the 1929 stock market collapse. But we have good days coming, and we appreciate talking with you, Thomas. We only tried to speak briefly today. We look forward to speaking with you again.
Jack, thanks very much. It's a pleasure.